So again, good morning to everyone. If you have your Bible with you, could you turn with me to Acts chapter 2, please? So I'm going to ask three simple questions. They're really simple, but sometimes the response that it elicits from inside us can be a little bit different. So number one, are you born again? Now, it's a pretty simple question, but sometimes if you're not sure, it can cause anxiety. How about, are you water baptized? Have you ever been, if you're born again, have you been water baptized? And then the third question, which you can see where I'm going with this, if you're born again and you're water baptized, then are you Holy Spirit baptized? Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? That one, more than the other two, can really cause confusion. It can cause heated debates. It can cause a lot of stuff that I don't think was in God's heart when he coined the term baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's a God idea, not a man idea. It's in the Bible. God, he sees that the best thing for us to walk out this thing called born-again salvation, being a born-again Christian, is we need the Holy Spirit. We need his help in everything. I know I do. I know you guys do, whether you admit it or not. We all need the Holy Ghost for everything we're ever going to do in this life called salvation. And so this morning I'm going to share a few simple things to help us walk in the fullness of God, in the fullness that he has for each one of us. And part of that fullness, part of it is baptized in the Holy Ghost, just part of it. See, sometimes when we talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit, it almost becomes this wall. And if you're on this side of the wall, that means you don't feel like you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Maybe you don't speak in tongues. Maybe you don't pray in tongues. You don't sing in tongues. Okay, well, then that puts me on this side. Or if I'm on this side of the wall, well, I can pray in tongues anytime I want. I can sing in tongues any old time I want. I can impress anybody in any meeting with my gift of tongues. I'm pretty sure that's not what God meant when he said baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Is tongues important? Yes, sure is. Is it a gift from God? Sure is. Do I count on tongues? Absolutely. But that's just a part of baptizing the Holy Ghost, which is part of the fullness of God that he has for each one of our lives. So as we read in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to circle back around in Joel chapter 2, I just want you to keep this idea that all of this is a package of the fullness of God that we're all after as disciples of Christ, as born-again Christians. Amen? So let's start out, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Wow, that's a lot of different places. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "Well, they're full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, about 9 a.m., which nowadays you couldn't use that, could you? Because nowadays people are drunk 24 hours, 7 days a week. That That wouldn't mean anything. But back then, it still meant something. So he said, these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Say, all flesh. All means all. God promised that he would pour out his spirit on all flesh. So if you're wondering if he poured out his spirit on you, if you're made of flesh, he poured the spirit out on you. It's as simple as that. It's awesome. What a great promise. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I'll show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and the vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you've taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he's at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. For you have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says of himself, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All three of those go together scripturally. The first sermon ever preached was Peter preaching the sermon about salvation, and the church is born. Right there is the birth of the New Testament church. He says, repent, get water baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promise is to you. Who's it to? Yeah, amen, come on. For the promise is to you and to your kids and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. In that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. There's so much in this. I was just reminded as I was preparing for this the last couple of weeks that on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when me and Jeanette were just baby Christians, probably in the Lord the first year, and our church did not have any midweek services at the time. So we went to one of the area churches, and they had, on Wednesday night, they had all these different classes going on. One of them was baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it was literally a 13-week class on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so to try to preach and to touch much at all, I definitely need God's help so that when I speak in my native tongue, you guys hear something from him, just like this crowd that changed everything in their lives. Amen? So it's really amazing, this. God poured out his Spirit on all flesh. Those expecting got something. Do you know the people up in the room, sometimes when you see the pictures, the old paintings and stuff like that, the idea is that it was the 12 apostles, and they were just waiting, and then the Holy Spirit fell. It was 120 people. You can go in chapter 1 and see, these are the last of the great group of people that were the closest to Jesus. He told them, go and wait for the promise of the Father. So they went and waited. He said, it's going to come to you in not many days. How many days would you guys go wait? If I said, go wait in the prayer room, I promise I'm going to give you something good. I'll be in there not many days. How many people would last through the day? How many people would be there next Sunday? How about the second Sunday? How about all he said was not many days. How many is not many days? 5? 12? 20 is a lot of days. Sorry, to me, 20 is a lot. They waited 40 days. None of them left. They were, whatever the days meant, I'm waiting. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care what other people think. I don't care what this looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I'm staying here until I get this promise. Must have been a big promise. I don't think you promised some free coffee. Right? I don't think it was a potluck. I think the promise, what they understood as the promise, was the very Spirit of God. Where's that promise? Well, turn to me to Joel chapter 2. Joel is an awesome book. You can probably read that whole book in about 20 minutes, maybe faster. It's an awesome book. It's a book talking about judgment of God. It's a book talking about how bad the world can get when most people don't want to worship God and they just want their own thing. And all the bad that happens from that. And then the judgment of God. God brings in this Assyrian army on Israel, judges them, hits them with this judgment. It's really bad. But in the midst of all this stuff, Joel the prophet prophesies that after the judgment, God's going to give them this amazing time. And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Sound familiar? It's word for word for what Peter said. These people went waiting for the Holy Ghost. That's what they're waiting for. It hit. They felt it. They seen it. They experienced it. The community around them heard it, was drawn, going, man, what is going on with all this stuff? Well, says, let me just start back up, verse 28, Joel number 2. And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also, on my men servant and my maid servants, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. The moon into blood before the coming and the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord had said, and among the remnant whom the Lord calls. A lot of calling going on, which I'll highlight in a minute. So there's a group of his followers, Jesus' followers, who went into Jerusalem found a regular old house, and they went in the upper room, and they set to praying and worshiping for 40 days. Wow. And on Pentecost, there's a mighty rushing wind that filled the house, not the city. So if, let's just picture us in here. We're praying in here for 40 days. Got the windows up just like now. And maybe there's, you know, some visitors outside. Not visitors. Some of our neighbors are outside doing some of the stuff that our neighbors do, like riding bikes and going for walks and playing basketball. And they're just out there kind of hanging around because they just happen to be here. They live around here. We're in here praying. And this sound of a mighty rushing wind comes and fills this whole house. Fills it. I don't think those guys heard anything. People outside did not hear the wind. But everybody in here heard the wind. And then it says divided tongues of fire appeared to them. So they seen them, and then one sat upon each one of them. And I think this is really amazing. If you get out of concordance, you get out your Strong's today, and you look at this word, the tongues of fire literally mean individual flashes of lightning. How did they get, hey, Paul, I just saw you get hit with lightning. How do you get, you go from, I saw you get hit with lightning to, I saw a tongue of fire over Oren. Can you imagine? We're in a prayer meeting. Because, come on, you guys, you're like me. You've been to a lot of prayer meetings. Some of them are really boring. I'm sorry. By faith, they're all powerful and awesome. There we go. I've seen people fall asleep at prayer meetings, and I thought, you know what? That's not half bad. I wish I was sleeping. Anybody else ever been to a prayer meeting like that? You must have, because I know some people don't even go to prayer meetings anymore. Must be a reason. Right? Ooh, did it get quiet just then? Holy kamunga. So imagine you're in a prayer meeting. You're starting to doze a little bit, been there 40 days. you ain't got no new prayers. After 40 days, you have prayed through your list of prayers. You've prayed all the scriptures. You've thanked him for everything good. You've done everything you could imagine. And then all of a sudden, this wind hits. The room's totally calm. There's a sound of a mighty rushing wind. What in the world? And all of a sudden you see lightning flashing. You see it first, and then it stops over individuals, and then they start speaking in tongues. Come on, that's the greatest prayer meeting ever was on the planet. Wow, that had to have been amazing. It says they spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were all expecting something. They were expecting something the first day they showed up. By the 40th day, they're sure they're getting close. And guess what? They're all Jews. So they know it's Pentecost. Pentecost is a day of the promise of the fulfillment of the blessing. On Pentecost, it's going to happen. Today's Pentecost. Do you think maybe, I don't know, it's first big feast since Jesus ascended. Man, I wonder if it's going to be, what's that sound? And the wind hits. And then there's lightning. And then they just start speaking in tongues. Wow. They were already declaring God's promises. Have you ever thought of that? How they weren't silent and then start praying in tongues. They were already declaring God's goodness, God's promises, God's properties, God's personality. They were already saying all that. The Holy Ghost then flipped it around into a different language coming out. But after 40 days in the prayer meeting, they weren't just sitting there. I kind of made fun of a boring prayer meeting. They weren't doing that. I don't think any of these people were just sitting there trying not to have people see them look at their watch, hoping that this hour would hurry up. I think they were all there committed. This, as long as it takes. I don't care if it's all year. As long as it takes. God, you're a good God. God, you saved me. God, I'm believing in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. I met the man. That's the stuff they're saying. God, I thank you that I'm called and anointed. God, I thank you I've got a purpose. God, I thank you that you're my strong tower. That's all of them are saying that stuff. And then the Holy Ghost hit, and then they start speaking in tongues. But they were already declaring the good things. You know how I know? Because the Bible says everybody out there that the Holy Ghost translated for, they all heard the good things of God. So the people in the prayer room weren't just going through some mental thing in their mind. Well, I got to go shopping today. I got to get groceries. Got to remember to pay the gas bill. And the car's running chuggy. And it's like, I wonder if I can catch the mechanic. Uh-uh. Oh, God, you're awesome. You're God of all the earth. God, there's no man that you can't save. God, you've transformed me. You'll transform my family. Lord, I thank you that Jesus rose again. And all of a sudden, all this hits, and these guys start speaking in tongues. Wow. The Holy Ghost just amplified what they were already saying. That's what I truly, truly believe. He gave them the gift of tongues, which I think was some kind of an angelic language. I don't think any of the people in that prayer meeting understood what anybody else in that prayer meeting said. I think it was a supernatural miracle, one of a kind in history. That time in that meeting, it was amazing. The birth of the church, man. It was huge. And then it goes from the meeting in here, and it goes out there, and that's where something, wow. I had you guys repeat after me, all flesh. It's important to see all flesh in this story so that we can see all flesh in our story. All flesh starts with me. I'm flesh, and I know that God poured his spirit out on me, even on my bad days. Even with the things I'm still struggling with, some mindsets I'm struggling with, since I got saved. Anybody else got that? How about it? All flesh. I still got the Holy Ghost. I ain't perfect, but I got the Holy Ghost. Right? Come on. All flesh. It's important to start with all flesh. Those who never heard what Jesus said to this group, the neighbors outside, they never heard anything that Jesus said. They don't know about any of these pronouns. They probably knew about Joel. I bet some of them knew about Joel because they're all Israelites, and they're in town for Christmas. Well, for our Western 2020 mindset, we would think Christmas, but for them it was Pentecost, which was one of three big feasts every year. So to translate that to here, that's like us. All of us are at church just about every single Sunday all year long. But there's also the Creasters, right? The Christians that go to church on Christmas and Easter, the Creasters. And so many of these people outside would have been Creasters. That, as you read the story, that's what they're only in town. They're only here because it's Pentecost. If it was a normal Sunday, I'd be out there camping or fishing or hanging out just because the weather's so nice. Maybe I just take a new boat out. Maybe I do some yard work. Maybe I just sleep in. I mean, there's church 52 times a year. Come on. Kind of tired. Been working a lot of hours. Amen? So everyone in the room and around that room, around that house, had the Holy Ghost poured out on them. God's promise to all flesh. All means all. Those who heard the words of Jesus and believed him for the fulfillment of that promise were baptized. The only difference between people inside and the people outside is the people inside had heard a promise from Jesus himself and were expecting the fulfillment. They got what they believed in the promise. That's big. That's really big. Because if we don't believe Jesus' promises, we won't receive that. We'll get byproducts, and there's grace and mercy all over the place. But God's specific promises, when they're mixed with faith, we receive them. And so imagine this. Imagine me standing here during the prayer meeting, and there's a guy right there on the sidewalk who's looking at his cell phone. And the wind hits, whoa! And then the Holy Spirit falls on me. I'm already declaring the goodness of God. I'm reciting one of the Psalms from memory. And all of a sudden, and this guy right here, the Holy Ghost translates it so he hears Psalm 37 in his own language. Picture it this way. Picture me as Victor. Victor and Rosa are in the prayer meeting. Victor starts praising God in Spanish, and then all of a sudden he goes into this other tongue, and this guy out here who's English, American like us, just talks English, it's translated. He understands Psalm 37 from Victor in here, who in his mind, he's still praying Psalm 37. And then the lightning hits. Holy kamunga. I didn't see no lightning hitting out there. Huh? Nobody outside the church got hit with lightning. They heard the goodness of God. Yep. Them inside that were expecting the promise of Joel 2 to happen because Jesus promised it, they got it. Wow. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. So baptism of the Holy Ghost or Spirit-filled is like synonymous nowadays. People say, oh, what denomination are you? Oh, well, we're Holy Ghost rollers, man. We are filled and baptized on fire with the Holy Ghost. Right? That's what they would do. Those are all the trigger words. It's like, if Jesus said it, we believe it. If Jesus did it, I want to try to imitate it. And I need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. How about that? It's the same thing. It's just what words do you want to pick a fight or you want to try to build unity? Simple as that. Paul said all believers should be filled. That's what in Ephesians 5, Paul ordered us, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't just say, you know what, if you feel like it and if it seems right, on a good day, and somehow you can get around the right group, the right teacher, the right minister, and yeah, go ahead, get filled. He said, no, you better be being filled. As a Christian, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need it. Do you know that the word be filled is pleroou? And this is what it literally means. For me to be filled with the Holy Ghost, for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost, Paul, in his mind, was thinking, you need to be replete with it. Which replete's a word we don't use a whole lot, but it's like when you decorate a room for a big ball or for a big wedding or something like that, and there's decorations hanging off of everything. It's replete with decorations. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. It's just the Holy Ghost just all over you. It's amazing. It literally means to cram. You know, come on, guys. Like when you're packing for a trip and your wife told you to start packing 2 days ago and you waited till the last half hour and so now you're just grabbing this and grabbing that and put three of those in and a couple of them and close it, snap. Ah, got it. It's filled. To be filled with the Holy Ghost is like being a crammed suitcase. It can't take another sock in there. It means to level something off, to top it off, right? I'm just going to top that off for you. Can't get another, dude, there. That won't hold another drop in that glass. It's filled. Filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm filled. I'm decorated. I'm so packed with the Holy Ghost right now. It means to furnish, to imbue, and to influence. With these side effects, to satisfy, to help to execute a mission, and to finish a task. It is a way of verification or to verify something, to be verified. Christians, be verified by the Holy Ghost. Wow. Wow. It's to complete, to finish something, and to fulfill. This word, when you look up this word in the Greek, more than three quarters of the time that this is used, it was Jesus saying in the Gospels, Jesus would say that the scripture could be fulfilled, da-da-da-da-da. Or you saw this happen so that scripture could be fulfilled. It's completed. It's full. The Holy Ghost, to be filled in the Holy Ghost, is God finishing you off to be like Christ. It's how God finishes you off so that his calling can be fulfilled in you and through you. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, so you can be fulfilled in God's call on your life. Wow. So those who were in town for the holiday, it was one of three special festivals each year. Sounds familiar, right? We all know people that come and go. The satellites, that's what I kind of call them, because, you know, there's satellites that go on like a monthly orbit, a weekly orbit, a three-month orbit, a six-month orbit, a yearly orbit, a couple of years. You just never know when you're going to see that satellite again. I haven't figured out all their patterns. But they were there too. It's always been that case. There's been people that want to be in the meeting, don't want to miss it because they're believing for a promise. And there's people that will just kind of be around because they happen to be around. That's how I read it. These were not Jesus followers. The ones that were out there, they weren't followers. They were Jews who came into Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. They were not expecting the promise from Joel. They were there to fulfill their religious duties, acknowledge God, and be a good person with good standing in the church community. Sound familiar? I had a satellite just tell me in the last couple of weeks, I won't be at church this Sunday, and I can't make it next Sunday, but I feel bad because I don't want people to think I don't want to be at church. But you don't want to be at church, right? It wasn't because of work or school or career either. Wow. The great thing about the satellite priesters that outside is just as good as inside from their perspective, the great thing is when we receive our promises and the fulfillment of God's purpose in our lives, it's so amazing, it's so dramatic, that just being close is close enough. All of them got the miracle because of all of them believing for the promise. Right? All those guys out there, they stopped whatever they were doing. And they're like, what in the world is going on in that church? Something's happening. Now, the truly cynical ones said, they must be drinking in there. Sounds like they're drunk to me. It's like, okay. Other people, though, it's like, no, I hear them proclaim the good things of God. This is something else. This is amazing. So just being close to someone that's believing for a promise will get you a miracle yourself. I want people in my life, people that don't want to come to church. I want people that come to this church once a year, every other year. I want them to get a miracle. Because my heart for them isn't that they stop coming to church. My heart for them is that they'll get a hold of God. And they'll come in here wanting to share that with us. Because it ain't just about church attendance, is it, folks? Gosh, if that's all it is, I'll just rent some tapes. I'll post it on our website. We'll all sleep in, go out to breakfast, and watch a video once in a while. If that's all it is about getting a teaching. I think it's something about getting a hold of God in here. And me believing for you guys to get a hold of God while you believe for me to get a hold of God. As we encourage each other, let's go for this thing. They must have been encouraging each other in that upper room. You would have had to encourage me. Like day 18, day 19. It's like, yo, Alex, can you cover? Because I kind of got to go do a couple things. Stop at KFC, take a nap. Right? I mean, at what day would you have been thinking, how long is this going to take? These guys stayed put, man. These guys stayed put. Someone had to have said, yo, Mike, just take it easy. Come on, you can do this. You got this. Come on, nobody else is leaving, Mike. Don't leave. Come on, hang in there. I believe in you. You can do this. Because the promise for the Holy Ghost isn't just for me. It's for you too, Mike. Hang in there. Come on, here, let me just pray for you real quick. Right? That's what church is about. You can do this. You can be more than who you are right now. God is not done. Part of the baptism of the Holy Ghost on all flesh is he is in the process of fulfilling his call on your life. Fulfilling his purpose in your lives. Fulfilling it. This isn't a done deal. I think oftentimes many people in many churches think that if I have a good track record on a Sunday morning, that's it. Boom. That's my life. That's my life as a Christian. I was at church most of the time. I even served in a couple of things. It's all good. I'm Christian. It's like, that's not it. You're a son of God. You're a citizen in the kingdom. Miracles and signs and wonders should just be normal in our lives. You know, I think a lot about Pastor Glenn and what he's going through, which it's a good report. The surgery went well. He's already recovering. He's already got a picture on Facebook. He must be doing great, right? But it just makes me think of his lifestyle and what he's walked in, the power, the anointing, the things he's seen, it's because he's always on fire for God. It's not because somehow God went, you know, Mike, you're a pretty good guy, and I like Jeanette, but Glenn, I'm just going to give Glenn a double portion of the Spirit, and then he'll just do so much more than all you guys. You can just listen to the stories and be entertained. None of us think that, right? So what is it that brings the fire down, that brings the lightning into people's lives. What is it? What makes them guys receptors and other people not? Because it's one of two things. It's either a heart condition, and they're hungry enough to wait 40 days and go through whatever they got while they believe for this promise. It's either that, or God is not a just God. He's actually quite unfair, and he picks and chooses a few people to give them special salvational experiences, and the rest of us, well, we just have to schlep through and suck it up. We would never say this out loud, but I think sometimes we think it, if we're honest. Let's get back to this one. I want to start living like these guys that I read about, these guys and gals, there's men and women, and not just three or four, not just 12, there was 120 of them. This is doable. That big of a number, this is doable for you and me. I want to get on fire for God. Please help me, encourage me, pray for me. So I'm expecting lightning. I want to see a little bit of lightning hit me. If I'm lucky, I'll be in the mirror when it hits. I'll be able to watch it hit me. That'd be really cool. Maybe one of those times when I'm with one of the grandkids, that way Jeanette will be filming me. I'll be able to watch that lightning hit me. How about you guys? You ready for some lightning? Because I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. That ain't guaranteed to none of us. I would guess I'm in fairly good health. I'm only 60. I probably got a good 10 or 20 years left or more. How about you guys? What if I would say, well, we all only have 6 months. Let's go for the lightning. In the next 6 months, let's go for it. What if we only have till the end of the year? Let's go for the lightning. Because the devil would tell you, since you're kind of old, or because you've been a Christian for a long time, you're kind of used to how things go. This is just the status quo. It's been like this in this room for 39 days. Nothing's going to change. Just keep it on cruise control. Ease back. Find a radio station. We'll get there eventually. Devil, you're a liar. I'm not buying it. I got a fast car because I like going fast. Right? Come on, church, let's get some lightning in here. Individually. Together we can be a lightning storm. Whew. Verse 21. Let's go back to this. I'll start closing this up. Verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. And it's a very specific call to a specific person. If you see verse 21, and then you compare that with verse 39, you'll see that one talks about people making a call. The other one is God making a call. Very different words were used. It was translated into the English, and in my Bible, it looks like the same word. It was not the same word. The verse 21, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, it is a very specific call to a specific person. It is a call for help and the flavor of worship at the same time. So it is only used for people to call on a specific God. Now, if you just look at it the way it's written in English, and whosoever calls in the name of the Lord, it's not an average thing. It's not a group thing. It's when Mike called on Jesus to be saved. I made that call one time. You don't have that on speed dial. You don't have it programmed into your television or anything like that nowadays. It's one call that we all made. We already did that. The other one, in verse 39, it's actually two words in the Greek. The one word means whosoever. And the second word means to call onto, to summon, and to invite. So whereas the first one, verse 21, is specific, it's one person calling out to God, verse 39 is God summoning and inviting all of mankind to salvation through his Son. Wow. A lot of calling going on, but very specific. God called everyone in Israel. Some came to the Christmas service. Of course, they would have called it Pentecost. God called everybody in America to come to Christ. Some came to church at Christmas and Easter, and they heard something neat. They talked about it for a couple days. Some came to the Christmas service and heard the same thing, and they even thought it was kind of stupid. The exact same sounds. But some, when God called America, some heard the words of Jesus Christ. Some gave their whole life. They responded to that invitation with their own call, and they cried out for a Savior, and they got it. That's you and me. Out of, what is there, like 350 million Americans, something like that, roundabout. Out of all them, here we are, in church, worshiping God, together, fulfilling His promises because we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Some knew the words of Jesus, and they planned. Listen to this. This is really exciting. Those 120 people are in the room. Some heard and knew the words of Jesus, and they planned their whole lives around that promise. Their whole lives. They stayed there for 40 days. That means whatever their job situation was, it probably changed. Unless they owned an old company, it was their own company, and they had enough savings to carry this through. I think all the responsibilities in our lives that we have right now. If for the next 40 days, we went and we rearranged everything to get God's promise. Whoa. They planned their whole lives around a promise and received that promise. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The power of God was so amazing that Luke could only describe it as everyone getting hit with lightning. Wow. Wow. So how does this passage affect us today? Well, we can apply the same powerful truths to our lives as 120 disciples did all those years ago. What has Jesus told you to expect? What promise or promises are you telling Him you're waiting for? Do you have a promise that you're waiting for God to do? How often do you remind Him of it? Do you remind Him every day? A promise? Do you remind Him every week? Or do you have it on a card and you have it in a drawer, and when you're in that drawer, you pull, oh, yeah, that's right. Lord, I still believe that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think when lightning strikes, there's something more to it. And these people, these guys, these men and women, I think they're reminding God about the promised Holy Spirit morning, noon, and night. Especially after the first couple of days, I'll bet when they woke up, it's like, you feel any different? You get anything? No, it's still on. Okay, Lord, we're still waiting for it. We're still waiting for your Spirit, Lord. Right? At lunchtime. Well, let's pray for the meal. First off, let's pray for that Holy Ghost. Right? Dinner time. Guess what? We're going to pray for. We're all going to bed. Night watch is coming on to pray. The rest of us, we're going to, well, let's just pray for the Holy Ghost before we go to sleep. Morning, noon, and night. What promise are you guys waiting for? We already got the Holy Ghost. He was already poured out on all flesh. So we already got this promise. What's the next promise you guys want to pray for, want to believe for? Morning, noon, and night. You know, when me and Jeanette first got saved, we ran into this concept. And so we lived by the 3x5 cards. You've heard me talk about them. I've got a stack of them. I don't have all of them, but I got a stack in my office. And it's just amazing for me to look through and see some of the history of the stuff we believe for over the years. But we would have them things taped up on the bathroom mirror. We'd have them things taped up on the outside of the cabinets in the kitchen and on the inside of the cabinets in the kitchen. If you went out in our cars, it'd be on the dashboard. If you went and looked in my toolboxes, there's some more of them cards. Sometimes it'd be the same card because we were getting a hold of God. We weren't going to let go until we got this thing, just like these guys. So how do you have a promise, first off? You got to get a promise. The Bible's got 10,000 different promises. I'll guarantee you, whatever's your heart desire, God's promised you an answer for it already. So we can just remind Him of it daily, every meal, part of every prayer time. And let me ask you this. So I know in your heart you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I know in our hearts we believe we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Does your life match your heart? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? Have you asked Him into your life? Because sometimes we ask Jesus into our heart Take my whole heart, especially when we're singing worship. Take my whole heart. Take everything, Lord. Get rid of anything you don't like. Rearrange whatever you want, Lord. I just want more of you. And then we look at our lives, and our lives are so chock-a-blocked full that for God to do anything, he'd have to start deleting stuff. But he doesn't do that. He calls us, and we respond. So does your life match your heart? Because I know in your heart you love the Lord and you want more. Just pray about it and look at your life. I'm not looking at anyone. I'm looking at my little thing because I know I want to make more time for the Lord, and I'm inviting you to do the same thing. We love Jesus with our whole hearts, and he loves us with his whole heart. It's not just about us trying to get somewhere and do something and change our thinking. More than that, it's about locking on to the idea that Jesus loves us so much. He died for us, for sure, but even more than that, he wants to fulfill his purposes in our lives, and they're good purposes. Let's grab a promise and start believing for it, reminding him, reminding us of his promise, reminding him of his promise. Just let it out. Let out the love of Christ. The love of Christ that's in your heart, which you got when you were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Let's be someone's answer to what they're praying for. Sometimes we talk about baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's all about talking in tongues or, you know, moving in signs and wonders and miracles. Yes and amen. All for it. But what if part of my being baptized in the Holy Ghost is to be the answer for what you guys are praying for? Because I can't make God jump through a hoop and give me that healing or give me that thing that I'm hoping and praying for. But I can pay attention to people around me and offer to help. Who knows the next time you do that, but that isn't something they were praying for. We have a chance to be a miracle. It's up to us on that side. We can be someone's miracle. We can't manufacture miracles for us, but we can be a miracle for someone else. How's that for being spirit-filled, baptized with the Holy Ghost, on fire for God? These people, 120 of them, left everything, stayed in the upper room for 40 days. They didn't know how long it would take, but they just stayed there. They decided, whatever it takes, I want what God promised. Let's do that. Let's make a decision. I want what God promised me. You know, for me, one of the things I always prayed for, especially as baby Christians, me and Jeanette did a lot of praying for, is for our kids to know Christ, for our grandkids to know Christ, to have a Christian family. Boom. I mean, they were here just a few weeks ago and during worship. I was remembering all those years ago of us praying for that stuff, and here it is. It's like, Lord, your promises are absolutely, positively sure. And I'm going to close with a prayer for all of us, but I just want to encourage you, take some time today. Just take a little bit of time today and ask God to stir your heart with promises maybe that he gave you years ago and you forgot. Or you're still praying, but you're getting a little discouraged. Hey, Lord, touch that too. But I just want to encourage you, get with God, get a promise, and let's start believing for God to move in us and bring some lightning in this place. Amen? Well, Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your great love for each one of us. Lord, I know that there's promises that I'm going to go back and look at some of my 3x5 cards, Lord, because I'm pretty sure that there's promises that you gave me that I done forgot all about. So, Lord, would you please forgive me? Would you forgive us for the promises that, because it didn't happen in our timing, we set it aside? Maybe we got discouraged. Maybe we just got busy and got distracted and forgot. But, Lord, I pray in the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, that you would refill us with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would touch our hearts, that you would bring healing, that you would bring freedom, that you would bring hope, that you would bring faith, so that as we do our best to the Spirit-filled, baptized in the Holy Ghost life, it would be one of trust, one of focus, and one of generosity. Would you help us to do that now? Lord, I bless your flock, your sons and daughters. I know all of them are born again. I know all of them have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Lord, would you take us past the part about tongues, this thing that happened in that room that started all this off, would you take us into true church life where we're encouraging and strengthening each other, where we're expecting good for one another, and where we're trusting you for your promises, your personal promises to us individually. Would you give us the power now to do that? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, bless you. Have a great week, and I hope to see everybody here Wednesday at 6 o'clock. God bless you, and we'll see you later.